road trip on the way to Vermont? Is that even in the right direction? It is, right?
Yep.
All right. It's in the plans now. And welcome to episode 106 of Great Beer Adventure. I am sitting in Foul Mouth Brewing Company, and I gotta tell you, everybody's staring at me because they have no idea what the hell's going on.
I think it's the pink mic.
It's probably the pink mic.
That's a lot of attention.
That voice you hear is Heidi Geist, and we are here at Foul Mouth for a very important reason. Sometimes you get lemons when you try to make a beer geek retreat.
This is true. Lemons are great, though. You can make all kinds of stuff with lemons.
Like lemonade, a.k.a. beer.
Yeah, you have the same thing. Nobody knew this before.
No.
All those kids on the corner selling beer. I mean, selling lemonade, in quotes.
Yeah.
I traveled around the state of Maine, this wonderful, great state we live in, and brewed six different beers. And then they didn't have a home, so Foul Mouth Brewing Company brought us in and let us serve them here. So that's just where we are.
It's like a family. It's a beer family.
Yeah.
And these are some great. I've had two beers so far. I'm working my way slowly down the list, and they're great. I'm impressed. You did a great job.
I am really good at getting spent grain out of vessels.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to make?
What?
What are we going to make?
I don't know. That's all I can do. I can't. I can also sprinkle hops, but I can't do any of the rest of it.
Let's not talk about sprinkling again.
No, we can't get into that, because then we start talking about sprinkles and rainbows.
And it gets weird and off track.
Very quickly. Yeah, stop. This is our last episode in our startup series, and I have traveled around the state and asked a bunch of people here and at the Brewfest we were at, what is the one piece of advice you would give somebody starting a new brewery? What about you? What would you give for somebody starting a brewery?
Good luck. That's a good question.
Yeah.
A big pat on the back. Advice? I don't know. I don't have any advice.
Just
be nice.
Yeah, be nice. You got this. Try
be
not.
Humble. Be humble. You know, like a lot of people that are really successful, they work with other brewers and they learn and they are a big tight-knit group of beer geeky friends, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go over to the brewers now and see what they have to say.
Hi, I'm Tom Bull with Derigo Brewing Company, and I guess my piece of advice would be to make sure that you thought of every single scenario under the sun, but remain flexible. Things will change, and expect that change, and embrace it.
My name's Ian. I'm the owner, head brewer of Banded Horn Brewing Company. If I had one piece of advice for someone starting a brewery, it would be don't expect it to be easy. It's going to be way harder than you think, in every way imaginable. If you think it's going to be hard, just double it.
So just like the cost, double it. Everything just...
Yeah. Like, I read in all of these business books, like, you know, add 30% to this, whatever you think it will be. It's going to be way harder. I sort of believed it, but you actually need to believe it. It's all true.
One good thing I've noticed, though, you haven't lost any hair over this.
No, I have a remarkable ability to not lose hair and to not have gray hair. That's... Other than that, I'm falling apart.
My name's Chris Schofield. I'm with Barreled Souls Brewing Company. My one piece of advice, I think, is to know your niche, to know what your brewery's going to stand for, rather than just making kind of like a lot of the same beers that other people are making. That's certainly the approach we took, was to sort of set ourselves apart by making beer in a different way and making a different type of beer. And I think at this point, if you want to get into the industry, then you got to do something that's going to set yourself apart. So to like know your marketing and know like what you're marketing to.
So my name is John Bonney, and I am one of the owners of Foundation Brewing Company. So if I was going to give one piece of advice to someone who's deciding to open a brewery today, I think the biggest thing is going to be really making sure that you have the business piece of it squared away. You can make great beer, you can have fantastic product, but if you can't do the day-to-day operations of the business, the warehousing, the ordering, the managing, the sales, it's not going to work. You know, making beer is part of, obviously, a huge part of running a brewery, but it's only one facet. And I think certainly with us, that's been one of the more intriguing challenges, is really kind of getting that squared away. So yeah, I'd say I think it's one thing to, my one piece of advice would be, make sure that think about the beer, but you also got to think about how you're going to run your business.
Yeah, so this is Nathan Sanborn at Rising Tide Brewing Company. New brewer opening a brewery. Invest in quality. Your first full-time employee should be in your lab.
Will Fisher, Austin Street Brewery. I would say write a thorough business plan. Even if you're starting with financing or your own money or somebody else's money, start with a business plan, first and foremost.
TJ Hansen, Four River Brewing Company.
I would get on the TTB as soon as possible. That process takes a very long time. I heard it's like at least 10 months now to get your approval, so that would be my advice.
My name is Pat Rowan, and I own Woodland Farms Brewery.
Perfect. Now, the question is, if you were to give one piece of advice to a brand new newbie, I'm starting a brewery brewer, what would it be? I think this is called a pregnant pause.
Yeah, I guess my honest answer would be don't shortchange your quality control program. Because if you put out a crappy beer, or you put out an amazing beer and it's in a can, and your can is not appropriately tested, or your seams are not right, or your bottle is not perfectly clean, or any of those kind of things, it's going to be a terrible beer. And then your brand will be represented by a terrible beer, despite the fact it was really good. So, yeah, I would say test, 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 test. That would be my three-second answer.
Test, 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 test.
Test. Drink, 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 drink.
I think that's Charlie Fazian's thing. Don't stress, just drink a homebrew, but it would be your
relax,
own brew.
Relax, have a homebrew, you know?
And test.
And test, yes. Now, no joke, I mean, no matter how good your beer is, you don't have control of it as soon as it walks out the door. There's nothing you can do about that. Somebody might leave it in their car for 12 hours, or they might not refrigerate it immediately. They may make a mistake. So try and make, if you test your beer under those conditions, at least you'll know what it'll taste like. And you know it won't be a mistake when some poor retailer leaves it on a store floor warm for 3 months, you know? So
are you saying that I should, as a new brewer, take my canned beer, put it in my car, forget about it, and then try it again? Is that the type of test you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. And then make sure that you drink it warm.
So we're actually very lucky today. We have talked to all these brewers. Thank you so much to everybody that has helped give pieces of advice. I hope that if you're thinking of starting a brewery, that helps you. But we actually have a correspondent today. We're going to head over now to Clay, who's talking to the folks at Tuckerman's. Have you ever been up to Tuckerman's?
I have not.
Neither have I.
Yeah. No?
No.
Oh. Well, then we have a date.
Yeah, road trip.
Yeah.
Road trip on the way to Vermont. Is that even in the right direction? It is,
yes,
right?
It is. Yep.
All right. It's in the plans now. So let's see what Clay has to say with the fine folks at Tuckerman's.
Well, thanks, Amanda. I'm so glad to be part of the Great Beer Adventure podcast. This is Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd of the Fish Nerds podcast. I'm hanging out at Tuckerman's Brewery in beautiful downtown Conway, New Hampshire, with Chris Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Foster, tell us who you are.
Chris Foster is my name, and I am a brewer at Tuckerman Brewing. I also do packaging here, and we just kind of try to make the best beer that we can at this brewery.
Yeah, and I've been in Conway for 13 or 14 years, and this has been my go-to beer since moving up here, because I always like to do local stuff. And I think at the time, Tuckerman's might have been the only local brewery.
I think they were.
When I first moved up here.
Yeah, when I moved up here, too, it was the same thing. I'd always see Tuckerman in their, you know, six-pack and their pale and their headwall alt. And it was still cheap. You know, it was like one of the cheapest local beers around.
Yeah, it's not anymore, but it's still one of the best. I think, for me, it is the best local beer around.
Yeah,
I still love
it. Great.
And I love this new facility. So this new facility, you guys moved here a couple of years ago.
Yes. Yep.
And it's now a giant brewery in the back, beautiful space. And then the front section, you've got this great public room where we do beer tastings. I've been here for live music. I've been here for parties, like private events.
Exactly.
And it's a stunning yeah. space. How long have you been working here?
This October will be my seventh year working here. I started back in 2010. So I've been, and I started right off the bottling line. And you kind of, it was, you know, we had a skeleton crew, pretty small, and you work your way right up. If you can get through the packaging and the bottling line, then you get on to filtering, and then it's like, okay, let's see if you can do some brewing now. And that's how we all started.
That's it, which is really great. So now you can do all the jobs.
Yeah, pretty much. I have not been filtering for quite some time. We got some of the younger guys doing that now because there's a lot involved in that. And we always sit back and go, I haven't filtered for 2 years. I don't know if I can do it again, you know, jokingly. But, if you know, you can sit back and think about it, and we do it.
Yeah, and a little bit of quick training. Good
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the backstory of Tuckman's? Why was this brewery started?
I think Kirsten and Nick, they just had a dream.
Yeah, by my math, it's about 18 years. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know too much how they really got into it. I think they just loved great beer and just wanted to start a brewery. And that was not happening up in this valley.
There was nothing happening. And from their website, they were up here as skiers. They moved up here to work in the ski industry.
Yeah.
And they were homebrewers.
Right.
And kind of they were skiing Tuckerman's and had that kind of like
epiphany.
I love beer. I love Tuckerman's. What if, you know, your chocolate's in my peanut butter and boom, here we are. Right. And it's fabulous.
Fabulous. And I think we had good water. The water here is excellent. That's huge.
It's so funny. Beer. Do you travel at all?
I do a little bit. Okay, yeah.
So when I travel to the South,
we
bring water from up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go to like South Carolina or Florida. We go to over the Hussey Field over here in North Conway. We fill up like 30 gallons of water.
Right.
And we bring it south with us because the water in the South, people don't know, their water's terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. But our water up here, our groundwater is Poland Spring.
I mean, it's beautiful.
It's fantastic. So it's great. And you guys are located on one of my favorite ponds for fishing.
Okay.
I own a house on Pequawket Pond, which is right behind the brewery here.
Yeah.
And that's where I ice fish a lot. And that's where I own a house there. So I summer fish there a lot. And it's a great little fishery. So it's way fun. And you fish too?
Yes, I do. I love fishing. I grew up as a child up in northern Minnesota, 100 miles north of Duluth. So we did a lot of fishing up in all the lakes up there. All freshwater. I grew up eating freshwater fish, so I love it. Love it.
You live down on Ossipee?
Actually, on the Ossipee River.
Freedom?
Border of Freedom. Parsonsfield, Maine.
Oh.
So I'm a Mainer. Yep.
Mainer. Now, Ossipee River, I've been fishing now all summer.
Yes.
I actually started fishing it January 1st when it opens.
Opens, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But smallmouth bass fishery.
All over the place.
Unreal, right?
Yeah. You get a lot of small ones, but sometimes you can pick up, you know, pound, 2-pounders in there.
My daughter caught a 2.5-pounder
the
other day.
It's great.
We fish right below the dam there.
It's
great. So you've been here brewing.
Yep.
And so let's kind of go through the kinds of beers.
Right now we have our flagship. There's our pale, our headwall.
Headwall Alt has been for years my favorite beer.
I love it. I love it.
Just such a good,
it's a good beer. And then we have our stout, our 6288. And now we're getting into a lot of different brews. We have, you know, Jeremy Fetchett. It's a great, we brought him in. I trained him on the brewing system here. And he's just really knowledgeable of putting beers together. And he's been doing a great job and now our rock pile, we got that dialed in. And we have some of these other beers that we're putting out. Basically, you can only get them in the brewery.
Right.
So
when I come here, I always get that sampler of beer.
Yeah,
you know,
the flight.
Beers,
yeah.
The flight. And actually, I went to top of Cranmore Mountain the other day.
Yes.
And the best payoff, like every mountain, every hiking mountain should have Tuckerman's beer on the top of it. Because we got to the top of the mountain, and there's a bar up there, and I ordered a flight of Tuckerman's beers.
Excellent.
Came in your little wooden box.
Right.
And all the little samples
there,
and it made hiking down way more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you get to see the mountains. You're up there, this is what it's all about. No wonder why they got this inspiration.
Yeah,
you know?
It's pretty amazing. And the beer here is fabulous. What is your favorite?
My favorite,
Today. What are you drinking right now?
Right now I'm drinking it's the summer ale, which I really like. It's a nice, light, easy drinking beer. It's not heavy in the body or heavy on the hop nose. It's just light. It's a good beer, and there's a little citrusy in there.
Yeah,
that's what
nice.
I like.
My favorite summer beer my wife's favorite one is Shandy, which is like that lemonade-y beer, you know? And my favorite classic beer, just IPAs, I'm always going to I'm in that mode right now,
right,
the IPA
right.
mode.
Right, right.
But, which is yours, New Zealand, yeah. and it's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I still think the Alt is better. The Headwall Alt is better.
That's kind of my go-to, yeah, my favorite.
Classic.
I love it. I love that light because it's not a huge multi-flavor. There is a lot of hops in it, and it's a dark beer, but with a very light flavor, which mm-hmm. a lot of people, oh, they're scared of the dark. It's light brown, but it's like you taste it. It's like, oh, it's just refreshing.
It's so good. And yeah. so when you transitioned to a beer brewer, what were you doing before that? And how did you get drawn into doing this?
Oh, well, for a while I worked about 8 years at the Chartner Farms, the strawberry farm, mm-hmm. farming. And I just...
You're picking strawberries?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't picking them.
Jelly?
We were growing them. Yeah. I was a jam cook. I was making the jam, you know, farming, taking care of the fields and doing all that. And I saw an ad in the paper how this company was growing. I said, they're going to need some help. So I met Kirsten and Nick at a friend of mine, Bruce Pater's, his deceased wife's birthday party. And I met them and we just started talking and just kind of kept coming to the brewery. And I finally said, how can I get into this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, filled out an application and they were looking for people at the time. And we just started right from there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was growing my own hops at the time. And I said, how much do you need for a batch of beer? And they said, oh, about 20 pounds. I'm like going, oh.
That's more than you're growing.
Well, yeah. I had a lot, but yeah, it was more than, and then I just kind of got out of that and just did, you know, I was doing a lot of work.
Now, so hops are like weeds, right? They just grow everywhere.
Well,
like
they can. They're a perennial.
Yeah.
So you do find them a lot because they came over from when this country was settled. You know, they brought their hops over.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of wild hops around. I have a wild hop on my farm right now that I've tried to keep growing.
Yeah. They say beer, rum, and fish are why our country is successful.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
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 There's some great history books that highlight those three things as critical.
You know,
our drunk soldiers are why the British couldn't beat us.
Right.
Because we were outnumbered, but because we were rowdier, they didn't know how to fight us.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got our beer with us. So
yeah,
it was
we had
good.
The beer.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And so now you've been brewing 7 years here.
7 years, yep.
And you love it.
I love it.
You love
it's a great
it.
Job. And, it's good, atmosphere, good people.
And that's
good
why
team.
I find, you know, I see Maddie's here.
Yeah.
You know, he came over from another bigger brewery,
right,
you know,
right.
and he seems very happy with the transition over. The music you have here, you did this summer music series. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's really taken off. I think a lot of that was Kirsten's dream to really, because she loves music and loves going to shows and just said, let's do this here. And it's kind of been a hit. You know, it's crowded every time we have a good music bands coming in. And you know, we have a lot of small bands and a lot of some of the bigger
Right. So you have in September, N-Train's coming.
Yes.
Right? And they're no joke. I mean, they come here and they will rock
the
house.
Yeah.
What's the date on that? Do you know?
That is September 2nd.
Yep.
And that's, you know, going to be a good show. They're just great. They're a great rhythm band. And
they're so much fun. If you haven't seen N-Train live, they played last night here in North Conway. Your band opened for them.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I heard like thousands of people came just to see you guys, and another million came to see N-Train.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
And it rocked the house. We couldn't go because we were camping.
Right. Well, that happens, but, you know.
But it's a great time. So in that summer series, you can find that information at Tuckerman's website, which is tuckermanbrewery.com.
Believe so. Yes,
and
it is.
There'll be links, of course, at Great Beer Adventure and Fishners.com for those things. So tell me a little bit about your first memory in beer. When was the first beer you ever had?
Oh, my first beer I ever had was... when my dad was mowing, at the time I lived in Massachusetts.
By the way, every beer memory starts with my dad.
My dad, exactly.
No one ever says mom.
Drinking Miller High Life. It was drinking Miller High Life.
Champagne of beers.
Yeah, that was it. In the clear bottles.
Yes, it's still actually a summer beer. It does its job.
I take that when I'm canoeing. It's, you know, I like it.
Yeah.
So it's a good beer. But that was it. And a small, young kid.
How old were you?
Oh, I was probably, I was not of age.
Right.
You know, he just had it on the summit. Goes, go ahead, have a sip. And I did. And say, ugh, I didn't like it, you know.
No one does.
No.
Beer's like that, though.
Yeah. And then you know, you go through the high school years and the college years. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I can make my own beer. And then I got into home brewing through, you know, after I kind of went through college.
Oh, you waited till you were old enough.
Yeah.
So I started home brewing when I turned 18.
18, yeah.
Because you can buy all the beer ingredients.
Correct. Right.
Without being 21. So I started brewing when I turned 18 because I wanted beer, but I didn't want to go have to like fake ID it and all those things. So I brewed beer at 18. And then when I turned 21, I never brewed another batch.
Right.
Because
it's a lot of work. And it's
so
expensive
much,
too. You know,
you're not saving money making your own beer. That is
no,
for
you're
sure.
not.
Yeah.
No, I got into that, you know, make my own. And then I got into wine and mead. I really love mead.
Mead is
so
good.
Yeah, I love it. So.
Yeah. What is your favorite homebrew you've ever made? What's the flavor you've done?
Oh, geez. Oh, my home. I like stout. I made a good homebrew stout.
Stout is actually easy to make.
I like it. Yeah, nice. And I do. I like it. And then there was another, like, I think it was a type of ale using a lot of centennial hops, which I really liked a lot.
It's fun to, like, get all nerdy about.
Yeah. You can get into it. And then I'm just like, nope, I'm not going to go that way. This is just, we're making beer here. Yeah. So.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple.
And now that you're here, do you homebrew still?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I try to make my mead because I just like mead and it's easy to make. And I can, you know, yeah, I have to buy the honey. I did have bees for a while, so I was able to, when I was working at the strawberry farm, we were able to collect a lot of honey.
Were those your bees back there?
No, they weren't. No, they were, Hud, who was my boss at the time, got bees in from another guy, but we just kept them there and tried to keep them alive. They're tough. They're a tough little insect to keep going.
I did bees last year, 1 year only, and after that I decided that I could buy an awful lot of honey. For the $400 I invested this year.
Exactly.
By the way, $400 for your first year is cheap.
It goes on after that.
Yeah, no, I quit. I thought, you know what? I lost every bee and I'm done.
That's what happened to me. Yeah, I got 2 years out of it and that was it. So
it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
All the power to the beekeepers.
Yeah. Now, so you're old like I am.
Right? Yes.
Right? Yeah. I don't know how old you are.
I'll be turning 50. 40s. Yeah, 50 this November.
Okay.
The big one's coming up.
You're older than me, so that's good. Back in the day, microbrews were the thing. Do you remember when we didn't have craft beers?
No.
We had microbrews.
Yeah.
Back in the day, think back 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
That puts you back in the middle of the microbrew revolution. What was your favorite beer? This is pre-Tuckerman's.
Oh, geez. I was drinking a lot of, there's this great brewery out of Hudson, Mass. Called Pilgrim Brewery. And they were brewing some amazing stuff. Ipswich brewing stuff. And I would go to this liquor store and we would get these 24-ounce bottles of like Harbor Light. I think that was from Ipswich. And then Pilgrim came on the scene and brewing stouts. And I just loved it. That's kind of what got me going on the friend of mine. We just would go in there and buy these cases of these bottles. And like, you're buying it all out. I'm like, yeah, we are because we like it.
That's how we would do it. We would go in and we would buy every week. It'd be Thursday night would be a different microbrew. And we would work our way. And I think I've had near every beer. Yeah. And then now you can't keep up because craft breweries are now popping up like everywhere, right? And beer in America, we were talking off mic earlier.
Yeah.
It's better now than it's ever been in our history.
Exactly.
Ever been. It's places like Tuckerman's that have put it back on the map.
Right.
You know,
And we try to be very consistent with our brewing. And that's the key when you're a brewery. It's like brewing those beers that are very consistent. And
well, because if you're, you know, if I want Head Well Alt, and I'm in Head Well Alt. I go to the store, I get one skunky batch.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone. I'm moving over. I'm buying someone else's beer. Right.
So
that's really critical. And I've had that happen with other beers who I've loved.
Yeah.
And then they got into it changed. Mm-hmm. And you want that thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a chemical process. It's real science.
True.
And you got to know your stuff.
So, yeah.
And Tuckerman's has dialed it in over the last few years. Yeah. And it's a wonderful place. And if people haven't been to the Tuckerman's Brewery, you guys offer tours here.
Tours. Yep.
Yep.
Music, everything.
It's a beautiful place to visit. The concerts are all family friendly. So you don't have to be 21 plus to come see a band here.
Right.
It's $10 cover. For the entrance, for example.
Yep, for entrance. Sometimes we have free shows coming up on Saturdays. We do that.
Yeah, and Diana's Bath Salts, one of the bands associated with the Fish Nerds, has played here a number of times.
They're great to see. You know, everybody's like, oh, they're coming back. So
yeah, in fact, Nick, their rhythm guitar player, lead guitar player, he is our audio engineer.
He makes
our shows for us.
That's great.
And he wrote the music for our Fish News, which is great. Okay, so one last question, because I got to bring it back to fish again.
Because
even though we are on the Great Beer Adventure podcast, I am a fish nerd at heart, and so are you. I can tell.
Yeah.
Tell me your best pairing of a freshwater fish with beer. What do you think? And you can pair it with a Tuckerman's brand if you want to.
A nice freshwater fish.
And tell me how somebody cooked too, because that impacts.
Well, I do. I grew up fried fish.
Yes.
I've lately gotten into
breading them.
My grandmother had a secret recipe.
Oh, let's hear it.
We did a third of butter, a third of bacon grease in
a third of butter, a third of bacon grease. I'm dying already.
Yep, and a third of oil.
Uh-huh.
And then you would wash your fish. I don't think we used flour. I can't remember this recipe. And then cornmeal was a big part of it.
Yep.
And then you just fry it.
Perfect.
But you know, you batter it and let it sit for half an hour. That was the key.
It's really
important. You couldn't just throw it right in there. You have to walk away from it and then we'd fry our fish.
Yeah, something happens in that time. Yeah. The longer you take between breading your fish and frying it, yeah. Something magical yeah. happens. I don't know what it is, but it's
that's
real.
Right. It was cornflake crumbs and cornmeal. So, and you, up in Minnesota, you could actually go buy a box of cornflake crumbs.
They just take them.
We could have just bought cornflakes and crushed them up, but no, you could buy these cornflake crumbs
Minnesota's
already.
Great.
You know, it's
yeah.
great. So.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners in Minnesota, yeah, and they yeah. will probably be writing in going, yeah, oh, I know
yep,
that recipe.
Yep. Well, Lutzen, Minnesota, that's yeah. where it's at.
Now, yeah. in the South, they will bread their fish. They'll take like Doritos, and they will drop those Doritos into a food processor,
oh,
and they'll
goodness.
Bread them in Doritos, like catfish, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I've tried, and it's as good as you can imagine.
Oh,
it's,
I bet. It's wonderful. I love catfish.
I do too.
It's a good fish.
I do too. All right. Do you have any parting words for people who are thinking about visiting Tuckerman's
Brewery?
Oh,
just, yeah, please come up and try our beers. We have a lot going on. We're getting into the kind of the fall, winter season. I know it's still summer. I'm not pushing the winter season, but we're going to be getting our stout out and our altitude, which is kind of an offset of our headball alt, which is a little bit stronger. It's good beer. I like it a lot. Yeah, come on up and enjoy and see some music. That's what we're all about up here.
All right. And so Chris Foster from Tuckerman's Brewery, thank you so much for coming on the Great Beer Adventure podcast.
My
and of course, the fish nerds, we always appreciate talking to one more nerd.
Oh,
and
excellent.
I have an open invitation to take you ice fishing this winter.
All over it.
You know,
yes,
I know Maddie does some ice fishing, but I catch fish. And I'd love to take you out and put you on some real fish.
Excellent.
And especially even down your way, there's plenty of great fishing down the
yes.
way. I guide on Ospie all the time. So
awesome. Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, it's great.
Be a totally great time. All right. Thank you. And back to you, Amanda.
So thank you to all the brewers. Thank you to Clay, the fine folks at Tuckerman's. And thank you, Heidi, for joining me on the mic again today.
It's great times. You've planned an incredible event.
Yeah, it was going to be awesome. And
no, this is great. We're sitting in one spot, and we have, what, 5 different breweries?
Other than the one we're at.
Right, which is great. Falmouth is awesome for hosting it. It's good times.
Yeah, as I said, make lemonade out of lemons, and I think we did. And some really different delicious beers here today. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Again, I don't remember what the next show is, so you're just going to have to stick around and find out.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Until then, go out there and try something new. Cheers, friends.
Have a good one.